In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Seated. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is rightly said to be a summary of the gospel, of the good news. There's good news that God loves. There's good news that God so loved. But the really good news is that God gave. God gave himself to us so that we might not die but live, so we might have a new life that begins now, a new life with God and with each other that begins now and which the grave cannot hold. The gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ is that God has given us the gift of life in Jesus Christ the Lord. It's a gospel about a gift. Now, the Gospel of John is a gospel of great contrasts. There's light and there's darkness. And the tragedy of the world is that light has come and people prefer the darkness. There is eternal life, this new life with God and with each other, this life for which we were made, which we've lost, and which God has given his only Son to restore us to this life. There's eternal life and then there's eternal death. There's life that's moving towards God, which is life itself, and there's life that's moving away from God, which is oriented towards death. And even now, the undertow of death is pulling about our feet. There is destruction. This word that we should not perish, that word perish, in Greek, it can also be translated destruction. So there's a contrast in John's gospel between being destroyed and being recreated. There's a contrast in John's gospel between being lost, perishing, and being saved and found. And we need to be careful how we hear this good news, because it's possible to hear it in such a way that we mistake the character of God. Sometimes people hear this in this way. They hear it as, here is this arbitrary God, kind of like a schoolmaster in the sky, who puts an arbitrary test. I'm going to test you whether you will believe in me or not. If you believe in me, I'm going to give you a passing grade. If you don't believe in me, I'm going to give you a failing grade. So it's sort of an arbitrary God who has an arbitrary test and gives arbitrary rewards and arbitrary punishments. What about people who've grown up and they've never heard about Jesus Christ? They've grown up in a different culture with a different faith. What about them? What about people who are people of goodwill? We know people like this. They're in our families. There's something there. Just St. Thomas Aquinas talks about an invincible ignorance. There's something there of a skeptical turn of mind. They find it very, very difficult to hear the good news of God's gift to us in Jesus Christ the Lord. So what are you saying? Are you saying that people who believe through no fault of their own, so to speak, are going to be rewarded, and people who don't believe, so to speak, through no fault of their own, are going to be? No, it's not like that. It's not about a God who stands far off and sets an arbitrary test and gives arbitrary rewards and arbitrary punishments. It's about the lifesaver who stands on the bank and sees that people are drowning and plunges in and does everything necessary to rescue and save. Now, we're coming into the middle of a conversation here as we begin the 14th verse in the third chapter of St. John's Gospel. We're coming in, it's really actually towards the end of the conversation. The conversation has begun in the beginning of the third chapter. And a rabbi, Nicodemus, has come to Jesus by night. He's come to Jesus for a rabbi-to-rabbi talk, maybe a little theological conference, you might say. And Nicodemus is, he's a very learned man. He's one of the great teachers of Israel, and he's a member of the Sanhedrin, which is the ruling council of the people. And he has become convinced that Jesus is sent by God. He says, Rabbi, nobody can do the things that you're doing unless they're sent by God. And he's looking for a discussion. He doesn't get a discussion. He gets an immediate challenge. And Jesus says to him, yes, Nicodemus. And unless you're born again, or unless you're born from above, what's he saying there? he's not talking about, particularly about a particular kind of conversion experience. What Jesus is saying to Nicodemus is, yes, Nicodemus, and you're dead. You know, this, the gospel message, the real gospel message, is both more offensive and more beautiful than this mishearing of the gospel, which here is about an arbitrary God giving arbitrary rewards and punishments. It's more offensive because it really says to us, as St. Paul says in the epistle today, you're dead. You don't have life. You're before Christ, you were dead in the trespasses of your sin. And Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you don't need a discussion. You don't need a conversation. You need new life. You need to have God's Holy Spirit come into you, like God's Holy Spirit did to the first people at the very beginning, and you need to be remade. You need to be regenerated. You need to be healed, made whole, and set on the path to life again. And Nicodemus, he says, well, what do you mean? How can this be? We hear this again over and over in the Gospel of John, where Jesus is talking about spiritual things, and people, you mean I go back and I come out of my mother's womb again? What are you talking about? And Jesus says to him, look, you're one of the teachers of Israel. You should understand this. It's like this. You remember when our people, they'd been delivered from slavery. They'd been promised that they would be led to the promised land, and that there they would become a light to the nations. And they're going through the desert, and God is feeding them by hand every day. Remember this, Nicodemus? And they don't want to keep on going the way that God is leading them. They want to go back. And they start to murmur. And God sent the serpents. And what is that? Well, what's happening on the outside is exactly what's happening on the inside. When we turn away from God, when we want to go our way and not God's way, what is that like? Well, that's like being snake bit. That's like being poisoned. That's like fire and the stinging fire in the soul. That's what that's like. What's going on the outside is exactly what's going on the inside, which is that they are experiencing the consequences of their rebellion against God, of their refusal of God's gift. He wants to feed them, wants to lead them, wants to make them a light to the nations, and they're refusing that gift. And what is that? That's fire, that's stinging, that's sickness. And so God's judgment on sin, and God's judgment on sin does what it's always supposed to do. It causes people to repent, it causes people to return. And so they say to Moses, Moses, please intercede for us. Moses does, and God gives Moses this curious instruction. We have to decipher it. It's a prefiguration of the cross. Make a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, tell them to look at that. When they look at it, they'll be healed. What's going on there? What do they see when they look at that serpent? Well, the serpent, first of all, a bronze serpent on a pole is a dead serpent, not a live serpent. It's a serpent that's been vanquished. It's a serpent that has been paralyzed by the hand of God. And when they look at that serpent, they see their sin. They see their dying. They see their repentance. And they see the healing that God has provided. And they see all those things not as some abstract idea, but they see it as something tangible, something as locatable, as something that they can grasp. And as I talk about these things, I have to put the sickness, the repentance, the provision of the antidote, the healing, and I have to talk about them in some kind of sequence. It's just the way that language works, but they all happen at once. It's all like that. And they gaze, and they see both what makes them sick, and they see the remedy that God has provided. Well, Nicodemus is like that, Jesus says. Sin is going to be crucified. Sin is going to be nailed to a cross. Sin is going to be lifted up when the Son of Man is lifted up. Sin is going to be lifted up, and we're going to see how poisonous it is. We're going to see how evil it is. We're going to see what it's doing to us, and we're going to see what we're capable of doing when we're in the delirium of the poison. And we're also going to see God's victory and the healing that He has provided. And we're going to see it in a tangible way. We're going to see it in a locatable way. And we're going to see it in a way in which we can grasp. Faith, I love this. One of my heroes, Wesley Newbegin, says, faith is the wherewithal we reach out and grasp and take for ourselves what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. When we look upon the cross of Jesus Christ, we see our sickness. We see what our sickness makes us capable of. And we see God's victory over that sickness. When the presence of God hovers over the tabernacle in the desert, and when the presence hovers over the temple in Jerusalem, there is a cloud that veils the brightness. And the crucifix veils the brightness of the resurrection. And this great sacrifice of love is God's anti-venom to the poison of the serpent that bites us. And when we see that, we both see who we are, we see who He is, and we see who we can become in Him. And we reach out, and we trust, and we grasp, and we become open to God's inbreathing of His Holy Spirit, and He begins to remake us. Some people all at once, some people more slowly. All of us are always in need of more of the healing that God has in store for us. What about the people that, you know, they don't know Christ through no fault of their own? Well, okay, it better not be through no fault of our own. But we can leave them to God's mercy. What about the people that are just resistant, even when they hear the message? We can leave them to God's mercy. What about us? What about us? What about our choice between light and darkness? What about our choice between death and life? What about our choice between being snake-bitten and love-smitten? When the Son of Man is lifted up, He says, I will draw all people to Myself, and they will look upon Him whom they pierced, and they will be healed. Dear God, let it not be said of us that light has come into the world and we preferred the darkness. Let it not be said of us that life has come into the world and we preferred death. Let it not be said of us that healing has come into the world and we preferred our sickness. But let us look upon Him who is lifted up for our sake, and be made new in Him. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.